Hi, everybody. How are you? I'm very caffeinated at the moment. It's 10 p.m. and I have an 8 in the morning class tomorrow morning, which means that I need to wake up at 7 at least. And it's 10 and I'm really caffeinated still from my matcha latte that I had at 5:30 p.m. to survive my English literature class. Anyway, how are we doing? How are you? I'm very happy to be here. I'm actually really, really happy and grateful to all of you who were on this journey last year and who are going to be in this journey 2023. So I'm very happy that you're here. I'm very happy that I'm here. And all I want to say is happy 2023. I feel like we can still say happy new year. You know, that's my hot take of today. I think that we can still say happy new year. Please somebody back me up on this, but I feel like we can still say happy new year. I don't know about you, but I feel like January was just really... It was long. It was so long. I feel like there was 3 years in a month. Like, January was just, like, to me, like, literally, it was two lives. I moved countries, and I started the year somewhere else, and I started the year not knowing what was going to happen in my immediate future, where my life plans were at. Everything was hanging in the air. And I started the year just exhausted. Like, it was exhausting. And I'm usually the kind of person who's, like, super stoked and, like, planning things. And, like, I'm your typical goal bitch, you know, 1st of January, list of goals, list of projects, you know, kind of excited to tick off the boxes and everything. But this year, I didn't do it. I couldn't. I was just really exhausted. And if there's something I learned from 2022 is that rest is so important and it's part of the whole process. And rest is not a synonym of staying behind or, you know, losing time. So I wanted to prioritize on my mental health and learning to release, which is something that happened. It was a learning that happened without me really planning to do it. It was actually quite a painful process. For multiple reasons in life, I just didn't know what was going to happen with my life. I didn't know if I was going to be able to just, you know, make such a big move in my life. And it could be very frustrating not knowing where we're going to be, what we're going to do. You know, feeling like we're behind on this invisible timeline that we've created for ourselves and we expect every single person to follow regardless of the immeasurable amount of difference between each human being, right? So at first I was very anxious about my situation in life or the place that I was holding in my life. Uncertainty just started crippling and started eating me alive. It was very uncomfortable, feeling so misplaced, but at the same time trying to stay grounded. It was a really weird moment. I hadn't felt this way since I was in my, like, in that transition from, like, high school to, in this case, university, or high school to, you know, my life overseas somewhere else as a different person kind of thing, you know, kind of like that transition. Which is what I would say in my case was the biggest transition, where you can see that I was a child and then I became, if we can call that, a proper adult, you know, which sometimes to me it's so weird to say and conceive in my mind, but let's stick to that. So I reconnected with this feeling of uncertainty, with this feeling of not knowing what I was doing, with this feeling of anxiety about, you know, people asking me, my immediate people, like, hey, what do you say, immediate people? My close people, like, you know, those around me, like, hey, you know, what's your plans for next year? What are you going to be doing? When are you going to go? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. I just didn't know what to say. I just didn't know what to answer, to the point where I started isolating myself. And because of reasons beyond me, I genuinely didn't know what was going to happen with my life. And I started becoming really anxious in social spaces. I started avoiding, you know, certain situations, and I started kind of replying to these questions. They made me extremely uncomfortable, I gotta say. I remember those moments when I was like, what is this? Just, oh, I hate this. When I was in family dinners or whatever, and, you know, people would just be like, so what are you going to study? What are you going to do? Are you going to go to university? What university are you going to go to? And I was just like, not even sure if I wanted to go to university at all, or like, you know, you just don't know. And you're being consistently interrogated. Well, that was my experience for like a month or 6 weeks, like just full on. Like that period of time when I was just like, I have no idea what's gonna happen with me. And yeah, I initially reacted towards this situation in that way, you know, just in fear and anxiety, avoiding, and, you know, kind of isolating myself. At the same time, I knew that I was under a lot of stress and a lot of emotion. I mean, yeah, a lot of emotional stress, really. And I made sure all throughout that I was meeting my basic needs, just because I tend, like many people, but I tend to, you know, if I'm really stressed or something, I just get consumed and I forget my basic needs sometimes, you know, like I would go without drinking water or eating for like long periods of time. And yeah, so knowing that I have that tendency of just kind of like getting sucked into this emotion or, you know, state of, yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, constantly was making sure that I was staying grounded somehow. Whether that was, you know, just being consistent on going on, you know, like physical activity, like engaging with some sort of movement, getting some sun. It was back in New Zealand when it was summer. It's still the summer. So it was, thank God, nice weather. And yeah, it was, I think I did a really good job at coping in the best way possible that I could. But there was a point where I actually started getting, I got really scared. Because for the first time I noticed how this emotional distress, mental and emotional distress, very much affects our physical well-being. I started noticing that sometimes I would feel like I was going to faint. Sometimes I would feel like I was kind of like not really present, not really listening. I was having this sort of mind fog. And that never happens to me. That never happens to me, especially when, I don't know, when I'm engaging in all sorts of things, that do me well, you know, like eating well and staying hydrated, doing exercise. And even if I was doing these things, just like the intense amount of emotional and mental distress just really started taking its toll on me. And I got really scared. Looking at these symptoms, if we can say that, symptoms just to what I just said, emotional and mental distress. But yeah, I went with my doctor and I talked to her about it, and she was like, yeah, you're just extremely stressed, and whatever it is that you're going through, it's not that worth it. Like, you need to release that, whatever it is. You need to release that. This is not worth your health and your well-being. You need time to recover, you know, to detach from this whole thing. Take a couple weeks off, you know, and reground, reconnect with yourself. And yeah, you know, from being fully attached, I'm so full of fear about falling behind in this, like, timeline of life, or feeling like disappointed of myself for not achieving what I wanted to achieve right at the beginning of the year, or, you know, quote unquote, starting the year wrong or whatever. I was just literally just, oh my goodness, I was just hurting myself so much by kind of like torturing me and reminding me every single day that I was not aligned to this. But in reality, I was not attached or, you know, I was not aligned to any sort of like deadline established by a school or a job or a program or something that was telling me beginning and end, this period of time, your life's sorted for now, don't worry about it. You know, I think that we put so much importance in the guidance of, and I'm saying guidance as in quote unquote guidance, or kind of like, or specific time frames that our jobs or, you know, education or other sort of systems bigger than us have upon us. I don't think there's nothing wrong about having an indefinite contract, a job contract, or, you know, studying for X amount of years or whatever. I just think that we're so scared of taking a little step back from that and actually rethinking on the rhythm that we want to live by. And I think that that was one of my biggest takeaways. I was just so terrified that there was no piece of paper saying what I was going to be doing from January till July, or January till December, or January till January 2027. You know what I mean? I was just so terrified of being in this like limbo, floating in the air, being like, oh wow, time is mine now. You know, like, this is life. Welcome to life. I'm so scared. I don't want to be here. You know, like, in this space of not knowing or not being trapped, I was going to say, attached to something, you know? And at first, it was a terrifying space to be in. Again, the uncertainty is just absolutely against what we aim for socially. You know, as a society, we absolutely adore being told by these systems when and how we do things, which, again, I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's inherently wrong. I think it becomes a problem when we let those systems dictate every single step that we start taking in our lives. I think that that's when it becomes an issue. Why? Because plans crumble sometimes. Things don't always go our ways. Things sometimes do not work for us. And sometimes we find ourselves in this place of limbo, floating, and we're terrified. And we take decisions from fear, from a place of fear. We choose. And we don't choose the best things for ourselves. We are in a place of fear, and we just either take the first thing that comes across, or we are desperate for something and we either attract something that's properly not for us. It's in like a really low vibration of fear, or it's just not for us. So I think that's when it becomes inconvenient, to say the least. And so when I discovered that I was in a space where I was free to rethink my plans, rethink my choices, rethink everything that I had done, and not just think, but also look back and be like, amazing, I've been worrying so much about this plan that just crumbled, and I actually haven't looked back to say, hey, I did amazing, I'm so proud of myself, you know? No, that was, I hadn't celebrated so many wins that I've had over the last, I don't know, since COVID, starting off from there. You know what I mean? Just like doing my absolute best to nurture and stay on top of my mental health, doing my absolute best for, you know, having a balance, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just never celebrated those little things because they were not necessarily attached to something sustained by something bigger, you know, like a diploma or like a job or something that I could show to the world and that would make me more important. So to me, that was a massive realization. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe that I've been in this place of fear and distress where I can't sleep. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm just free right now, you know? And this sounds a little bit cliche. I don't mean it in, I don't know. I think freedom is really relative and I don't want to get into it. But I felt in this space where, since I was not tied up to anything, there was no expectation of me. Or at least I didn't have any expectation of me anymore. I fully detached and just released the... There was a lot of pain, for sure. Had to let go of the pain. Had to forgive myself and be like, hey, sometimes things don't work out the way that we want them to. Or, you know, sometimes we don't have answers as quick as we want to. And I literally just started focusing on my physical needs or emotional needs as well. And like meeting the basic needs, which was, I say again, getting some sun, going on a walk. When you're extremely distressed, these things sound so dumb and small, but sometimes when you're so stressed, and not just stressed, but when you're in this mental space, mental state, when you can't see anything else and you're in a lot of pain, you're in a saturation of pain, sometimes the best and the bravest thing you can do is go on a walk. So focusing on like those basic needs was what really kept me afloat and what allowed me to be like, okay, this hurts so much and this sucks, but it's fine. Let's literally live day by day. You know, if I can't tell my immediate future, let's just live day by day. And that's meeting my basic needs, which I tend to forget about when I'm in very high distress. So that was the best way to kind of like reground, take that power back, and look after myself actively in a healthier manner. Anyway, I started the year very exhausted, but at the same time, I started the year in a different headspace, because once New Year hit, I kind of already had this realization. I went camping for 3 days for the first time in my life. And yeah, I felt like Meredith Blake from Parent Trap. The first day, though, the last couple days, I was absolutely fine. I was a camping baddie. You can absolutely hire me to set up your tents and put them down as well. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever done. And it was amazing. It was really fun. Testing my non-existent living in the wild skills, which was really fun. It kind of reminded me of how literally I needed to like look after myself and how fragile we are and how we actually need a lot of care as human beings. Started the year in the ocean. It was the first time that I ever slept before midnight on New Year's Eve. I slept at 10 p.m. just because, you know, you're camping, the sun goes down, you stay up for a couple hours. But, you know, I just didn't feel like doing anything else other than going to bed and waking up early tomorrow to go swimming, you know. I was swimming in the ocean 1st of January and it was amazing. It just felt like it just felt like I was starting the year right, you know. It was like, oh, yes. I have no goals this year, but it feels amazing. I did have goals, well, projects. I made a little list of things. I was like, you know what, regardless of what's happening, regardless of where I will be, of the place that I'll physically inhabit, these are things that I want to do. So I kind of like wrote a little list down. But to take the pressure off, because pressure was the least I needed, and anyone who started the year exhausted, which is very common, actually. Sometimes goals aren't the best place to start. And sometimes it's just, you know, enough to do either some reflection or think of the highlights of your last year, or don't even think about your highlights at all. You might have not highlights. It's really different. It really depends. But I was writing down things that I actually wanted to do, and writing that list down just reminded me, and, well, I sort of reconnected with dreams that I had that I had forgotten about, for example. You know, once again, going back to the limbo space that I was talking about, this space, it's an amazing place to plan from or create from or imagine from. So I reconnected with dreams that I had, and I forgot about as soon as I started university, as soon as I started working every single day, and as soon as I started, let's say, being an adult, you know? There were things that just faded away as soon as I, you know, just adapted a different lifestyle. And remembering those goals, just those dreams, that at some point, for sure, they were goals. It was a little bit heartbreaking thinking that I forgot about them, but it was also quite hopeful and reassuring and freeing remembering them and bringing them back into my present moment and hoping that I would accomplish them, or at least having them in my mind, in my list of hypotheticals, you know, dreams that I have for this year. So that was great. And on the other hand, I was pretty exhausted, you know. For some reason, life decided to do what it did with me, and I ended up with my initial plan, which was to move back to Europe. I'm back in Paris, the first city I ever chose to live in, to migrate to voluntarily. First city where my parents don't have a say if I'm living there or not. So it was once again reconnecting to something familiar that at some point in my life I chose for myself and I loved, and I also forgot about. I forgot about, why I came here, or, you know, back then, why I came here, what brought me here, what fascinated me. The eyes of a younger woman, you know, looking at Paris and thinking of different things to what I think now. And yeah, it was pretty crazy having such a long January. All of this that I'm telling you, by the way, has been January. So that's why I say that it feels like it's been so long and exhausting. I mean, if you've moved countries or cities or even houses, you know how exhausting moving is. It's not just moving your physical things, your physical possessions. It's also moving emotionally and mentally, because the space that we occupy physically also has its space emotionally and mentally and spiritually and metaphysically, and in many, it's got many different layers. It goes beyond just packing everything in a bag and flying or driving or walking a couple blocks. You know, it takes way more. So on top of my end of the year, you know, full of uncertainty and a lot of pain, and then discovering this, having this massive epiphany of, oh wow, what an amazing place to plan from, I ended up moving. So everything happened pretty quickly, and there were massive changes that I'm still processing for sure. And I'm not sure if I can speak a lot about at the moment. But what I can say, and what I literally came to say today, was that we're not supposed to be starting off the year strong. You know, we're not supposed to be starting off the year with everything we've got. We're not supposed to be starting off the year going to the gym and ticking off all of those boxes that we imagined we were supposed to at some point. First of all, I don't think we're supposed to be doing anything. I think those pressures, that invisible timeline that we've all somehow have internalized, is a big factor of pressure, a big factor of stress, a big factor of anxiety to a lot of people. And I've fallen victim to this so many times. I still do. I have to consciously pull myself out of that, out of falling or following those patterns. So yeah, I think that however it is that you started your year, if you started with a lot of energy and a lot of goals and projects that you want to get on board, I think that's amazing. And if you started out the year uncertain, in this limbo space, feeling a little bit floaty, feeling exhausted, feeling heartbroken, feeling grief, if you're grieving, I think that's amazing as well. I think that's an amazing place to be in. And I think it's an amazing place to be in because there's a point where when we're in distress and a lot of pain, sometimes the only choice is to rethink things. And that's in the best case scenario for sure. There's actually many, many paths coming from being in this state. But I think that it could be, speaking from my personal experience, it was and it can be a very safe place to choose from and to think from and to act from. And I don't think that you should be ticking off boxes all the time. I think this space is, at least once we realize that there's nothing that we should actually be doing, the should is, it could be very dangerous using this narrative towards kind of like a generalized timeline. So I think we must rethink what that means to us. But I think this space is a great time for reflecting. Sometimes grief does not allow us to do that, and that's absolutely fine. Sometimes what you might need to do is literally just look after your physical needs, you know? Sometimes you are in the place of reflection, so you can look back at your own past and experience gratitude, experience joy, maybe experience sadness or whatever emotion comes from looking back at that. It could be neutrality. You could realize that you're actually growing out of that or that you're falling back into that, you know? I think it's really important to also look back and reflect upon those things. And once we realize this, you know, that we're in this space and that we're not necessarily here to, you know, fall into this category of shoulds and what we should be doing, this timeline, we can start choosing actively. This is like the biggest takeaway for me. It was like, you can start choosing what serves you, what elevates you, what elevates those around you, whatever is your plan, whatever is what sets your soul on fire, your purpose in life, or your purpose of the day, your intention of the day, whatever it is. You take your power back when you realize that you're not here to fulfill some sort of ideal made up as a standard for all the billions of people in the world. That just doesn't work for everybody. There's a million different roads, million different projects, million different types of people, you know? So I think that we must acknowledge that we must allow ourselves to be in this space of uncertainty, or if it's pain, let it be pain, feel it. And you might find the answers in those moments of distress. You might be in a space where you are thinking straight, because you're actually fully detached from all of these things. You don't have any expectations, or you feel like you have nothing to lose. Like, you know, in those moments, I think that's when we can actually take some, like, I don't know, like, I personally find that I give less fucks when I'm in this space. I don't know how it operates for other people. I would actually love to hear your thoughts, but to me, it's that when I start choosing what serves me and is not harming anyone else, and I don't do it out of fear, I don't do it out of anxiety, I do it out of love, I do it out of trust in the universe and life, out of gratitude to myself from the past, or gratitude to life, towards life. That's when those kinds of feelings and experiences, that's the kinds of stuff that I'm like bringing back into my life, you know, like you put it out and it comes back in the exact same way, and you're choosing it, you're actively choosing that. You're not just accepting whatever's coming by. You're choosing it, whether that's planning, or whether that's doing or saying or eating, whatever it is, literally whatever it is. And it just applies for everything. It's crazy. Just think about any situation and it most likely will apply. So I think that we must ask ourselves, what is this showing me? Why is this here? You know, sometimes, yeah, things are pretty unfair, and this is a pretty general thing. And there's, of course, specific examples where things might apply differently. But in this case, for uncertainty and dealing with really tough emotions, it's rethinking of pain. We have like the worst connotation for pain, but I learned that pain is necessary. You know, and pain reminds us that we're fragile and that we're human, and it might remind us that we need to be taking better care of ourselves. We might see for the first time in a long time the compassion in others, or within ourselves, or within everything around us. You know, like it's like wearing a different pair of glasses and seeing things in different colors. And I also like asking myself, how is this situation making me think of myself, making me think of things? How am I rethinking what I think has been working for myself? You know, I think that when we step into this space, we could allow this more nuanced and objective way. Nuanced and objective is just like the full opposites, and I'm just like putting them together as if nothing. Sorry, everybody. I'm actually really sleepy now. But yes, I think asking ourselves, rethinking and reshaping what we conceive as, you know, as uncertainty, as pain, as just looking at our relationship with this space. I right now would call it just freedom or life. I like calling it freedom, because there's freedom of mind, freedom of physical space, whatever. But it feels like freedom. But, you know, it's like a very reflexive space. Not necessarily I don't want to get too philosophical. I think it's a great space to where we can develop or connect with freedom. In fact, that's maybe a best way of putting it. So I don't know. Tell me what you think about these times of your life. When do you feel they come by? Do you ever allow them in? Have you ever felt them? What do you do when they come around? How do you cope? How do you support someone who's going through that? I would love to know. I am off to bed now. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see what this year brings for all of us. In general, I'm very grateful and I'm very hopeful of knowing that there's more and more people looking at themselves and rethinking of the ways in which we can support not just our own well-being, but that the well-being and just the well-being of those around us and how we can make the space that we inhabit a better place, and consequentially that just becomes a better place overall for whoever steps in. So I'm really grateful. Thank you so much for listening, and let me know your thoughts. I would love to hear back from you. Message me on Instagram at @amorepodcast, and setting up the Patreon very soon, where we're gonna have journaling workshops every month and extra content for the wonderful, beautiful Patreons subscribers. I don't know how you call a subscriber in Patreon. Probably it's just like subscriber. I don't know. But I'm really excited to have some more like community based direct contact with you. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next one. Take care.